This is Carl the Jackal Frampton.
Hi, this is David Healy.
Hello, this is Stephen Ferris.
Hi, I'm Bethany Ferris.
Hi, this is Joey Barton.
And Jonas Gutierrez.
Hi, this is Harry Kuehl.
And you're listening to The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark. I'm a man.
And welcome along to The Score with me, Michael Clark. Here's what's coming up on this week's programme. We'll hear from the Irish FA's new head of refereeing, Mike Riley, and discussing some of the changes you're going to see this season when it comes to decisions made by our officials. We've two happy managers on the way. That's after their sides got on the right side of late goals. Glentoran gaffer Warren Feeney positively glowing after a 99th minute winner against Glenavon, and Dungannon Swifts boss Rodney McAree reflecting on a remarkable 4-all draw at the home of Champions Larne after they were 4-1 down. Plus, Caelan Loughran joining us to discuss Loughall's winning start to Premiership life, spurred on by his two goals in their victory over Newry City. All that and more right here on The Score.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Yes, it was truly a stunning first round of fixtures. Four teams haven't kicked a ball yet, though. That will change this weekend. Matches Friday, Saturday, Tuesday. The Friday games, Ballymena United Crusaders, Glentoran against Larne, and Loughall against Coleraine. Saturday sees Carrick Rangers take on Newry City, Cliftonville host Glenavon, and Dungannon Swifts welcome Linfield. And on Tuesday, all the teams are involved, a full round of fixtures. Just to quickly bring you up to speed, Carrick Rangers versus Coleraine, Crusaders welcome Dungannon Swifts to Seaview. At Inver Park, it's Larne Ballymena United. At Windsor Park, Linfield take on Glenavon. Glentoran are on their travels on Tuesday to Lakeview Park. That's against Loughall. And Newry City are at home against the travelling Cliftonville. So that's the games coming up. You know the guests coming up. So let's get into our first interview of the week. And on Wednesday, I went along to meet the Irish FA's new head of refereeing. They were launching a Catch Yourself On campaign, and that is where our conversation began. I asked Mike Riley, what's it all about?
It's about creating an environment in which referees are a valued part of the game and not a figure to be abused, to be aggressive towards, just for blowing a whistle and making a decision. And the thing I really like about it is the phrase itself, catch yourself on. Didn't mean an awful lot to me when I first heard it, but actually, as you go around the piece and you hear people say it, it's a great expression that resonates here in Northern Ireland. And the way people say it as well, it instantly makes you think. And if we can stop people, make them think, prevent that behaviour towards a match official that's unacceptable, it's going to be really successful.
Is that the biggest roadblock to getting people into refereeing, the perception of the level of abuse, or maybe in reality the level of abuse that you can encounter?
It is. It's both those things. And it's not unique to football here in Northern Ireland. If you look across Europe, over the last 4 years, we've lost something like 30% of referees. Because people who are in the game or thinking about becoming a referee look at what they see on TV, what they see on social media, the behaviours they see on local parks, and they think, why would I want to do that? And actually, if we can change that perception and people really understand just how good a life refereeing is and being part of a great game, then hopefully we'll attract more people into refereeing, we'll keep those referees that we currently have, and we'll stop the level of abuse and the aggressive behaviour that occasionally happens to make people not want to be a referee.
So in terms of Catch Yourself On, great, we're getting more awareness, and referees are people, they have feelings, let's not be mean to one another. But how do we take it a step further so that this actually starts to happen and people in the stands start to be a bit more mindful of, that's someone's son or daughter or whatever here, let's tone it down a bit?
Well, again, I think we have to capitalise on the vast majority of people who are involved in the game, playing, managing, refereeing, watching, are good people who have the game at heart. And if we can use that vast majority to say to the minority, catch yourself on, stop, let's not do that, then that will, again, will make the campaign successful. And we've all got a stake in making that happen.
In terms of, in a wider sense now, your role and welcome to it, how long have you been officially in the job now?
I've now been something like 2.5 days, so it's been a whirlwind, but fantastic. Great welcome when I first came here. I've spent time getting to know all the people at the IFA, talking to the people at the league as well, talking to managers. We had a manager briefing yesterday, talking to the referees, really trying to immerse myself in Northern Irish football.
And what do you see as the short to medium term goals here? What are you hoping that can be your early successes?
So what we're looking at is how do we take the referees that we currently have and make them even better? So we're starting from a good base of referees who are passionate about the game of football, hopefully using my experience now, leveraging the resources and the support that I can access to really take this group on. And at the same time, let's recruit a new generation of people into refereeing. Let's develop the pathways that we currently have of referees and make them better and contribute to the game here.
Does that mean you'll be asking for additional funding?
I think it's incumbent on me always to ask for additional resources. Whether it's funding, and again, it was interesting talking to the managers yesterday. Clubs have as much a stake in helping us develop referees as I do, because they've got the environment in which to help train and develop. They've got the knowledge and expertise which we can cascade to referees. So working all together, we can bring that additional resource, we can help develop refereeing.
As a broadcaster, I always feel it's part of my responsibility to help people understand the decisions referees are making. Sometimes I don't as well, so hold my hands up there. IFAB are always making tweaks. If we take a game as an example, the game that kicked off the Irish Premiership season on Friday, and not to pick on Tony, but Tony's game saw Tony Clark, a lot of yellow cards. I'm just wondering, with your experience watching that game, is it a game that should have had fewer cards? Did he nail it?
There's a responsibility on any referee who opens the season, because you're setting the benchmark. And it was fascinating talking to a club on Monday night, not actually the two teams were involved at LARM, but another club who weren't. Actually, I now understand what it is you're trying to achieve. This is the standard. We've talked to our players now to go, that's the level. If you cross that line, there's a yellow card there. So it's about adapting. And the early part of the season is everyone becoming familiar with the standards that we're trying to set. And over time, then, we all adhere to those standards.
So in the short term, we might see more yellow cards?
I think that's true. We saw on this opening weekend as well, I think there were 4 yellow cards in the technical area. Yeah. That's us saying, catch yourself on. The line's been crossed. We need to take action as match officials. And again, talking to the people involved to go, OK, I now know where the line is. It's a little bit similar to one of the quotes from another manager that went, it will take me time to adjust my behaviour, but I need to adjust it. Our role as referees is to go, we'll maintain that consistency throughout the season.
And the bookings in the technical area, that isn't even from you before anyone starts. It's actually from IFAB, isn't it? And Jose Mourinho is getting the blame for this, whether that's 100% accurate or not, but we don't want to see that sort of reaction ever. So do you want to explain what is now permitted within a technical area in terms of how many people are allowed to be up at one time and what happens if somebody doesn't obey the rules? Yeah.
So again, across Europe now, it is one person is allowed to stand and coach in the technical area. So you have that one identifiable person. Clearly, football's a passionate game. You can query decisions, you can talk to players, you can do all those things. But there's a line, and we all know what that line is, where you become abusive, where you become confrontational, where it's directly into the face of match. None of those behaviours are acceptable. And that's what leads to yellow cards and red cards in the technical area. And again, typically when you talk to managers after a game, the heat of the moment makes them cross the line. They accept the consequences of doing that. And over time, then you change your behaviour.
Do we need new hand signals, new gestures? Because I think that's something referees work very hard on, to have a signal for everything. And then, you know, the person in the stand or the broadcaster can go, oh, well, that's clearly for X, Y or Z. A manager might be thinking, I don't want anyone believing I've said a swear word or I've been abusive. I've just got a bit heated and stood up and someone else is already there.
I think by and large, the things in the technical area are clear for people to see. Okay. And you know that if it's a yellow card, what sort of type of behaviour that is. I wouldn't want to overcomplicate by making even more signals for referees to do.
No, that's fair enough. In terms of some of the other tweaks from IFAB, change in scenario for handballs in the box, now intent comes into it.
It does. So, and again, I think that's about making decisions that people think are fair within football. So typically, previously, you've had, if it was a shot on goal that was stopped by a handball, it was an automatic yellow card. As one of the now you go, judge the actual actions, because sometimes it can be a handball offence, but it's not something that's premeditated. Mm-hmm. So referees have a degree more scope now to go, that's not a yellow card. So really the handball offence that result in the yellow card are the absolutely obvious, cynical events that should be punished by a yellow card.
and it's only the deliberate actions that result in a straight red card on a goal line, for example, to an obvious goal scoring opportunity. So it's similar to bringing a player down unintentionally. Are there any other rule changes or changes to the law, if we're going to be specific, that you want to tell anybody about so that we can be fair viewers of the game?
I'd actually say at this point, if you concentrate on the handball change, you concentrate on the behaviour of the technical areas and on the player behaviour as well. So one of the things, again, to make sure we maintain a consistent line, is players who run towards referees, confrontational, yellow card. And then in terms of making sure that the game has as much playing time as possible, players who delay the game deliberately, kick the ball away, should expect a yellow card. And equally, you should expect match officials then to add on the suitable and appropriate amount of added time at the end of the match. And again, I think we saw an element of that this weekend in the opening games.
Crusaders fans, Paul Heatley kicked the ball away against Rosenborg, second yellow card, red card. People thought, harsh, that's actually what referees are being told to do. So you can sympathise with officials. Now you understand that that is actually a directive that's there. Crowding the ref, I mean, is it a totting up process? When does it become a crowd? Is it the third person, fourth person?
Again, I think rather than look purely at numbers, it's the way in which people come round. You can have two or three players around just having a conversation with the referee. That's a thing we all accept. Equally, you can just have one person run at the referee in an aggressive way, or two people, and that's unacceptable. But by and large, once you go beyond two people, you don't need to do that. And interestingly, there's been conversations about the captains taking on more responsibility, which the captains would actually welcome, and being the focal point for those conversations with the referee. You can have a lot more productive conversation if you've got one person who's the conduit. And that's something we might consider for the rest of this season.
And it would be remiss of me not to ask in closing, given your previous role, VAR, in terms of helping referees, is that something people in Northern Ireland can expect in the coming years?
Really, that's something for the league and the clubs to decide themselves, because that's the balance between the benefits that VAR can bring versus the investments that are required and the degree of training and time that it will take to develop it. So it's something clearly we're going to be talking to the league about in due course, but it's their decision.
You were very positive on it, I think, when it was introduced in England. So on a purely personal level, I appreciate there's other factors involved. Would you like to see it here?
Well, I'll answer it in a slightly different way, because I do think whether it's here or not is for the clubs. But actually, does VAR benefit the game? And you can't argue that it doesn't. It makes the game that is played instantly fairer. And actually, the improvements in the efficiency of the process over time have meant that it takes less time at the game than injuries do, substitutions do. So it is a benefit. But clearly there's an investment decision, clearly with a strategic direction, and that's really for the league and the clubs.
A lot to take in. Really, really valuable information. Great to talk to you today. And if we've taken anything away from this, everybody, catch yourself on.
The Score with Michael Clark.
So that's the Catch Yourself On campaign, aimed at increasing respect shown towards match officials and just letting the referees get on with it. And that is something that we should all try and get behind and do better at. And of course, people will be saying, we want the referees to be better, we want the standards to be better, we mightn't be keen on some of the changes coming in. That is all absolutely valid. And I'm going to try over the course of the season to get Mike Riley on again and have a more in-depth conversation with him. But in fairness, he started this week. He was facing a lot of media on Wednesday. We were good to get 10 minutes, I think. So hopefully you enjoyed that little introduction into what he's about and what we can see coming. And let's hope for more of that as the season goes on, because I think the dialogue is going to be valuable. Now, for the first time this season, let's get on Warren Feeney. He's the Glentoran manager. Warren, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Busy as usual, just preparing for the next game ahead.
And we'll be coming on to that shortly. A massive match indeed it is against Larm. But I want to first reflect on late drama. It really was late drama against Glenavon. And it doesn't matter how you get over the line, as long as you do, as they always say in football. And 9 minutes into time added on, Jay Donnelly gets you a winner.
No, look, you can look at it, and I've seen people coming out saying, oh, this new rule of 8 minutes, 9 minutes, whatever it is, added on. At the end of the day, until the referee blows his whistle, there's a lot of stoppage time, which during the game, ball boys went missing. So, you know, he had every right to add it on. But also, you know, our mentality is we worry about ourselves. We don't worry about anyone else. That's what I'm trying to instill into this football club. And, you know, it showed. I think it's all about fitness as well. I know it's the first game, it's difficult firing it in, but you can see that Glenn Sorensen showed a never-say-die attitude, and that's what I want to bring. And over the 90 minutes, to be honest, if anyone was there, we fully deserved it. We should have a stonewall penalty. We hit the post with a one-on-one the first half. So, you know, it's always a difficult place to go, and especially for us, looking at last year. But, you know, we got the win, which is all that matters, and the clean sheet and the manner of it. I say it is concentration levels. And, you know, I think anyone there on Saturday, it was phenomenal with the fans, the connection with the fans and the players whenever that went in. And that's where you want to take this football club forward.
Well, it was something Glentoran couldn't do in the league last season, which was beat Glenavon. I know they did in the playoff when it mattered in terms of that context for European football. But those 3 points very pleasing for fans who recently haven't really enjoyed trips to play against Glenavon.
No, look, the one thing I said when I come in here, everything else is history. You know, I said to the players the other day, we're a new animal now. You know. We worry about ourselves. We don't worry about outside noise or what went on. You know, I know what I want to do. I want to believe and get the players believing. Look, there's no going to be ups and downs all season. That's football. Teams are strong. But, you know, as anyone knew me as a player as well, the first thing I've done was always worry about myself. How can I affect the team? And as I said, it's always nice to come away from down there, especially with, as you said, the record. In the first game with a clean sheet and a 90th minute winner.
I mean, you've had plenty to deal with, haven't you, since coming in already? Let's even just mention that the crazy penalty shootout. Unfortunately, you came in the wrong end of that, but we'll see one of the most remarkable goals. We'll see plenty of goals in the shootout. It was probably, if you could have got one of the penalties converted in normal time, you wouldn't have been worrying about it. But, I mean, how do you reflect on that? You've had a wee bit of time now to try and come to terms with it. It was bizarre.
Look, you're spot on. You can't, as I said, this and the amount of people come to me and says, unlucky in this. I take it at the end of the day. I said it, we don't take our chances. We don't deserve to go through. You can't miss two penalties. Look, I'm never criticised. Everyone's been there. Everyone's missed them. I've missed two in the one game myself. But, you know, we've got to take it on the chin. As I said, it's you've got to put it right. That time we did do that. But we moved on. But I think that night, as I said to you, we maybe lost the game, but we gained a lot of support because the atmosphere in the Oval that night, you know, and I made this clear, was phenomenal. You know, reminded me of the Northern Ireland England night that night. You know, the atmosphere, everyone was together, everyone was on the edge of their seats, and I thought we put in a fantastic performance. And I said to the boys after, that's all Glentoran fans want to see is you playing for the jersey again. You know, there was drama. It comes down to, for me, mental toughness and fitness. The equalising, I think it was the 113th minute of the last kick of the ball. So it shows you we're not going to be easy. We're going to keep fighting to death all season. It's a good stead to have.
Who was it you missed two penalties against? I'm scratching my head at that one.
it was for when I was at Bournemouth, I missed two penalties. I think it was down at Exeter. And then... you know, there's another one. I've actually hit three penalties in the one game, scored two, and missed one. The ref made me hit it three times. So, you know, I've had everything, really.
Well, I was going to say, when you've missed two penalties in the same game, manager maybe have choice words afterwards or no?
No, to be honest, you know what I was like as a character, but I was up to hit the next one, and I made sure I did. You know, I always say to my players, you've got to be there to miss them. Yes, everyone does it, but... As I said to you, it's having the courage to go and get the ball again and put the next one in the net.
Talking of strikers, you've been linked with a move for one. The papers have been saying it's E2 Vertainen. You've been a bit tight-lipped. Is there any movement there? Can you tell us anything?
No, I can tell you for sure. I think the one thing that I've noticed since I've been back home, Michael, is, you know, they like to put us in the paper linked with every player becomes available. But no, you know, we keep our cards close to your chest. Obviously, you look at the Sule one, you know, we kept that wrapped up. Everyone wrote us off getting them. And then there's one that I see today, not from us, but come from a certain paper in England, which I'm very disappointed in because, you know, no disrespect to the club, but if I was the owners of that club, I would be very, I wouldn't be happy with what the manager's comments are, because at the end of the day, it's business between the two clubs. And, you know, we've kept our mouth shut, but he decides to put it. So we want to keep things wrapped up. And, you know, I'm a believer, until we get the players signed, you know, there'll be no announcement from us.
Okay, understood. What about an assistant manager? Caught quite a few people by surprise that Tim McCann's departed after one league game.
No, you know what? It's just something that I think, you know, I'm going down a different direction, but Tim's a very good professional. I had no problems. He wore his heart in his sleeve here. Glenn, man. But sometimes just it's one of those ones that, you know, you need to look at where can I look at areas where I can try and help this club move forward. You know, people's going to come and go at football clubs. That's the way it is. And it says, look, nothing's going to be done till after Europe. I want to give everyone a chance. But, you know, I had no issues, as I said to you. It was amicable. Tim's a great guy. He's going to have a great career in football, and I wish him all the best for the future.
So ultimately, it was your decision, and then you're maybe looking at bringing someone else in. Is that a conversation that has started with potential candidates? No. Or?
Yeah, look, there is. But I said to you, it's not something that I'm going to jump on at this moment in time. You know, we've got games coming up very quick, mm-hmm. and that's my sole focus at this moment.
Okay. Well, looking at those games, big Friday night action. I'm going to be at the Oval under the lights to see Glentoran versus Larne. It's a fixture I feel like I've covered many times. They're usually quite high scoring. I hope I'm not putting the scud on things. I know you take a 1-0 now, Warren, but what are your thoughts? Because we've seen, talking of high scoring, Larne high scoring on Monday. My goodness.
No, look, definitely. At the end of the day, the pressure's not on us. It's on Larne. They're the champions of the league, and as people have said, it's defend at the year, so they'll come here full of confidence. I spoke to Tiernan the next day, and look, he's he wasn't happy, but I said at the end of the day, Tiernan, it's football. The hardest game's always the first game. Mm-hmm. You don't become a bad team overnight. Larne coming to the Oval as champions, you know, they'll be confident. As I said, they're the champions, so it's a good game for us to put ourselves up against the team that's, you know, looking to defend the league. But in ourselves, we've, as I said, we've got a new animal. Obviously, we've got to look at our injuries to see what we've got. But, you know, we'll be competitive, what I said to the boys, and I'm sure the neutrals will be in for a good game.
And as if Larne needed any sort of incentive as well after that start on Monday, you know what it's like coming up against a team that's had a result they're disappointed with the next game, that can be even more fired up.
No, it's difficult. You know, you're only as good as your last game. But, you know, they'll be wanting their reaction. You know, they'll be disappointed. They've got very, very good players. They've got a good coaching staff. We'll respect them, but, you know, we're expecting them to come and look for a reaction. We've got to make sure we're prepared for that.
And you talk about a busy workload. Lough all away on Tuesday, and then Crusaders next weekend coming to the Oval. So you're having to look through that squad and see, right, who can I use and when? Because I'm assuming not everybody's in the condition where they're going to be able to play 390 minutes in the week.
No, that's what a squad's for. But obviously we've got to see what ones we've got can get off the injury table. But, you know, Lough all, as I said, it's going to be a difficult game. But I don't like talking, about teams and too far down the line, because, as I say, we've got a big game to worry about first, and then I'll assess everything after that for the next week ahead.
And a couple of Glentoran old boys getting their first starts and successful starts. Conor McMenamin with St Mirren, and Terry Devlin playing, I think it was 86 minutes in the Cup against Forest Green for Portsmouth. You must be very pleased for those players to see them continue their development. Maybe especially Terry, because, you know, he's a young player making that move, and he played the guts of the game.
No, look, we're delighted, and it's great for Northern Ireland. But I must say, I was only in, and I must say this, that there were two model professionals. Even, you know, when the stuff with Conor in the club, I must say, look, he had no problem. He come in, got his head down. I wish him all the best. Terry was a great kid, great age, going to a fantastic club. I was just trying to get him to rent my apartment, which is on the beach there, but he didn't want to. So I tried to fire that into the deal. But no, look, he's gone to a great club of a lot of people down there, and I said, look, any help you need, you know, give me a call. But it's great for Glenn Sorin to show in the Irish League that, you know, people are coming now and looking at the players over here. And as I said, so you try and move on. You know, he might not be the only one to leave here. We have a couple of good kids at the minute that there's a few clubs looking at. So, you know, we've got to make sure it's right. But as I said to you, we're open as long as everything's right with the clubs. And as I said, benefits everyone. Then, you know, if we can push players across the water, it's great for the country, but also they've got to be right for us.
And potentially business-wise, it's good for Glenn Torin if you can create that pathway and those links, you know, on a more steady basis, I guess. You start, you know, giving that opportunity and then show that Glenn Torin's a place where players can come at a young age and maybe break into the team.
Look, definitely, you know, I played with Eddie Hurd at Newcastle. Jason Tindall, we were all mates. My brother-in-law is the first-team coach our last 12 years, so, you know, I'm very, very close to Newcastle. You know, we've got contacts. As I say, I just use mine everywhere. I'll be going over at the weekend here to look at a few and meet a few people. But I think that's the way football is. You have to. You know, football's a business now as well, at the bottom levels to the top. And I think we have to look at it and make sure everything's but right for the club moving forward.
And before I let you go, we heard before you from Mike Riley, the new head of refereeing. He's met with managers. You just mentioned Jason Tindall. I'm thinking he's going to have a hard time, isn't he? The reputation he has, he doesn't like sitting on the bench. One person up in the technical area, good luck. Is it heads or tails?
You know what, to be fair, Tins is, and he's not like that. He's actually a nice bloke, to be fair to him. I think he gets excited, I'm surprised. But you know what, Eddie lets it, because Eddie's very shrewd and ruthless. But you know, I was at the manager's meeting the other day. I can fully understand where they're coming from, but you know, they've got to respect us as well. It's frustrations, it's people's livelihoods. I'm all for VAR. We had an incident on Saturday where it was a stonewall penalty after, and all the managers in there agreed. So you can see, look, we don't mean it. You know, we just get frustrated going forward. But I think definitely with the referees, they've got a hard job. They need protected, but also, you know, we'll come out and we'll have that meeting, you know, everyone together, and just see if we can move forward, help them as much as possible, and, you know, and have that glass of red wine after the game is the most important.
And are you thinking there's going to be further changes here then? I mean, you said about you're personally in favour of VAR. Mike Riley, obviously, when he was in England, was in charge of looking after it. At one point, it is some form of VAR, because I don't think, being realistic, we can afford the full kit and caboodle. Are we going to get some version of it, Warren?
No, I think we should. You know, I worked in Bulgaria and we had VAR out there, and you know, you're looking at the game going, no, that's never. But when the referee stops it and he looks, you can actually see, and I think it helps. Listen, as long as it doesn't stop the game for 4 or 5 minutes. But look, it is on Saturday, it would have been perfect for us, because, you know, looking back at it, you know, Junior get tackled around his knee. There's an incident where VAR would look at. So I think with the way the fast the game's going now, I think, you know, the sooner the IFA and the league can agree and get it in, I think it'll benefit everyone.
Okay, interesting point to leave this on. I look forward to seeing you at the game later on. Glenn Torn against Larne, huge match, very exciting one too. Warren Feeney, thank you for coming on to The Score.
Thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Well, the great guests just keep on coming here on The Score. We are spoiling you this week, and time to hear from another manager. We're talking about dramatic games. Does it get any more dramatic than Monday night's game in front of the Sky cameras at Inver Park, from 4-1 down with 10 minutes of normal time to go, to a goal in time added on for a 4-all draw? Rodney McAree, have you come back down to earth yet? How are you?
I'm good, Michael. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I've come back down. I think it's important that we come back down to earth quite quickly, but it was certainly an entertaining game. I thought we'd done really well in early stages and up until it was 2-1, and then all of a sudden, within the space of 3 minutes, you find yourself 4-1 down, and at that stage there's a part of me was fearing the worst, thinking that it could get even worse, and I didn't think we deserved it, but thankfully the boys responded, and it was quite a finish to the game.
It really was remarkable because I thought you set up so well in the first half. Joe Moore gets his goal and you're thinking, right, this is a really strong Dungannon Swifts performance. And then nearly rubbing your eyes going, my gosh, Lorne have just turned it on. It's 4-1. This could be any score. And from you probably feeling really proud of your players, to as you say, fearing the worst, a lot was happening in a very short space of time.
Yeah, I was actually standing in the technical area, actually thinking at one stage, how have we found ourselves 4-1 down?
Yeah.
Because we never really felt under too much pressure. Lorne have some great players and can hurt you, but I never really felt as if we were getting hurt. I thought we had frustrated them to an extent. Our objective was to stay in the game for as long as we could and give ourselves an opportunity to get something out of it. And whenever it's 2-1 and then in the space of 3 minutes, as I say, you're 4-1, you're sort of thinking you've just hit the panic button a little bit. But listen, Ben Gallagher, I think the subs that come off the bench really added to us and helped us. Ben Gallagher comes off the bench and scores an absolute worldie, which he has the capabilities of doing. But all the substitutes that come on contributed, and it's unusual whenever you play a game of football, you make 5 substitutions and you can honestly say that all 5 of them come on and improved you.
And 3 of them scored.
Young Tomás scored, which is fantastic. He's only 18 years of age. He's a talented boy. He's very strong. He works extremely hard, and he showed great composure whenever he lobbed his our third goal in. And obviously then Andy Whiteside, who at the time we had absolutely no idea who had scored. I actually asked John Scott 2 minutes after, did you score that goal, John? He told me he did. even whenever I was doing the interviews after, we had no idea who had scored. But thankfully, listen, Andy has made a great run and he's done well since he's coming in pre-season, and he gets his just rewards for the good run that he has made.
Yeah, there was 2 or 3 players at different stages being credited with that goal, and poor Whiteside never was him, but at least the club have come out and clarified now. What a moment that was. You know, when you see so much additional time being added on, you see the board go up, it must give everybody that bit of belief when it is only one goal.
Yeah, my fear was whenever we had scored that one goal that we all, the dugout, the players, the supporters that we had at the game were caught in the moment, and it was important that we got out of the moment as quickly as we could, because there was still probably a minute and a half to play and we needed to make sure that we see out the game, and thankfully Lorne did have an opportunity, but thankfully the striker sort of mishit it and this went wide. But my fear at that stage was, right, we've got ourselves back into it 4 each. Let's make sure we get a point out of it. And thankfully we did. The players themselves deserve great credit. They put such a shift in. They were disciplined in what we asked them to do. They showed good fight. They showed good character. And they got their rewards for their efforts.
It looks like you've assembled quite a good team. A few old faces coming back in. Talk us through kind of what you wanted to put in place as early as you could there. What did you see needed done?
Well, there was 10 players who left at the end of last season, whether they were contracted or whether they were on loan. So obviously that gave me an opportunity where I didn't have to worry about moving people on to bring players in. It gave me an opportunity to identify players who I felt could come in and help Dungannon Swifts, and instantly the first thing we looked for was character. We wanted to bring good characters in. We wanted to bring people in who wanted to train, who wanted to work hard, and maybe some like Christopher Higgerty's and your Grant Hutchison's that want to return to the club because it's the place that they've really enjoyed in the past, and they want to help out again if they can. So we've managed to add a little bit of experience. We've managed to add a little bit of youth. We've made 2 very good loan signings in Matty Lusty and Ethan Devine, who have both come in and showed a great attitude, a great will to be involved and want to be involved. And I just feel as if the whole balance of the players that we've come in has helped and will hopefully push us on and improve from last season.
You know, probably still now, Rodney, maybe for some time, people will wonder, you know, was he right? Was he right to walk away from Glentoran and the job there? In your heart of hearts, do you feel like you've done the right thing? I know you've got off to a good start, but how are you feeling?
Well, I love Glentoran, and I still look out for the results, and I really hope that every game they play, apart from playing against us, they'll do well. But it was just something. Ever since I ever left Dungannon Swifts to go to Coleraine, there's always been a big part of me has sort of missed the club, missed being around it. Obviously, I'm involved with Dungannon United Youth. I know all the kids that's coming through. I know the Ethan McGee's that have already came through that's in the first team squad at the minute. So it was something that I think it's in my heart, to be honest. And it was something that I got the stage with Dad needing a little bit of help. He's in good shape. He's still pottering on. He's still doing what he does. But he's going to need a little bit more of a hand now at this stage as well. So it was a case of come back and help out with Dungannon United Youth and give myself that challenge of working at Dungannon Swifts again and trying to achieve something special. And listen, I've really enjoyed it so far. It feels as if I've never really been away, to be honest. So it's not a decision at this moment in time that I regret. So I do feel as if I've made the right decision at this moment in time for myself.
And when you say something special, you know, what are your targets? I don't think you're saying you're going to necessarily win the league.
No, we've no chance of winning the league. We'll not in the next 10 years will we win the league. But what we can do is we can make ourselves competitive. We can try to get higher up the table. We can target maybe not this season, but maybe seasons ahead, that we can maybe look at that seventh place. We can start to target top six, possibly further down the line too. Not this season. And obviously anybody can win a trophy, because it's on any given day that you get one match that you have to win to progress to the next round, and who knows, we won the League Cup before, and who knows, maybe a huge ambition of mine would be maybe to try and win an Irish Cup, which is hugely difficult, but as I say, it's you're only playing against an opposition once, and you have to win that particular match to progress. So if we win enough matches in cup competitions, who knows where that can take us.
You've had, looking, you know, down through recent years, even the team last year getting to a semi-final and, you know, losing it in a dramatic fashion. You've played in a final, and look at how close you've got. So the Irish Cup, that would be a mouthwatering one for any team, wouldn't it?
Oh, hugely, yeah. It would be the dream. Everybody dreams of the first Saturday in May where you can walk out of Windsor Park in an Irish Cup final. And as you say, we were unfortunate. I was unfortunate as a player not to win it. We took Linfield to penalty kicks in 2007. We have been in other semi-finals also. I think we got beat by Linfield, got beat by Crusaders another year, and then last season we got beat by Crusaders again. And that was maybe 2 minutes into injury time where they lost 1-0 last season. So that you have to realise how close you were to actually getting to a final. If you get to a final, then you have an opportunity of maybe winning it and getting European football. So obviously getting the Irish Cup final would be an absolute dream, but listen, there's a lot of hard work in front of us if we're going to try and achieve something like that.
This weekend, it's all about the homecoming. First game at Stangmore Park in the league since your return, and a nice handy one after playing the champions, Larne, just Linfield.
Yeah, funny, there's two, whenever I was always at Dungannon Swifts, whether as a player, as a coach, as manager, whatever it may be, there was always two games that I always looked for straight at the start of the season, and that was the big two in terms of Linfield and Glentoran, because of the support that both clubs bring. They bring fantastic support, and there's a good buzz around the ground. There's a great atmosphere. There's plenty of people there watching it, and it's a challenge to see whether we can get something out of it or not, which is extremely difficult. Linfield have obviously been the best team in the league over this past 10 years, so it's going to be a difficult game. They've very good players. They've a great manager, good coaching staff. So we have to make sure that we're organised. And again, it's about us trying to stay in the game and see where that takes us. But it's definitely one we're looking forward to.
And then you've got Crusaders on Tuesday. I suppose if you're wanting to get a good sense of where the squad is at, that's three games to give you an indication.
Huge, huge. And I don't think anybody would have given us a chance or expected us to get anything out of the three games. So to have 1 point at this moment in time is already better than what people would have expected. Going to Crusaders on Tuesday night is hugely different than playing Linfield at home. Crusaders were phenomenal at home last season. They've done extremely well. They play their own ground very, very well. And big, strong, physical, with a lot of good footballers in their team, and that's going to create its own challenges also. But three very, very tough games to start off with, but it's also three great challenges and three great opportunities for our players to try and showcase what they have as well, and try and challenge themselves against the best players in the country.
I took the opportunity to ask Warren Feeney this because I know the managers have been in a conversation, went and met Mike Riley earlier this week. What were your impressions having met the new head of refereeing?
Listen, there's a huge part on the referee in this season that for me it comes across as if that they're trying to get a little bit more discipline in the game, they're trying to get a little bit more respect, and referees deserve great credit for wanting to go into the profession that they do if they want to become a referee. And then fair play, you have to show them the respect that they deserve, and that's not easy at times, because sometimes there's decisions go against you. You maybe concede a late goal, you're a little bit dubious over how it's happened, and all of a sudden you get carried away with your own emotion. And I think what referees are trying to do is they're trying to stamp down on that, trying to make everybody more respectful. And just control the situation a little bit better. And from a manager's point of view, it's probably about me then controlling my own dugout a little bit more and making sure everybody knows the implications. Because if we step out of line, there can be huge implications in terms of suspensions and fines and what have you for the club. So, listen, it is what it is. They're trying to make things better. They feel as if this will improve the game, so we have to move along with it and make sure we're doing our part.
And Mike Riley hasn't hidden away from the fact that he personally likes VAR, but he's saying it's up to the IFA and the clubs to decide if they want it and if they can bring some version of it in. Have you an opinion on that?
I'm not a big fan of VAR. Sometimes it can work for you, sometimes it can work against you. I like the emotion of the game. I like the controversy that surrounds, was he offside, was he onside, blah, blah, blah. I think VAR maybe takes away from the excitement of football. Now, on the flip side of that, if it ultimately gets to the correct decision, then there's a case that it's the right thing to bring in. But obviously for a club like ourselves and for a league like ourselves, it'll ultimately come down to affordability as to whether we're capable of carrying it out or not. I personally like the game the way it is. I hate watching football on Sky Sports and all of a sudden you're waiting 2-3 minutes to see whether a goal's a goal or it's not a goal, you know. So if it does come in, as long as it's affordable, then again we will all have to move forward with it.
And the meeting earlier this week, from what I understand, they weren't gauging interest or anything like that at that point, but it's just it's something everyone's trying to put two and two together when they see Mike Riley, I think.
Yeah, and I think I suppose people want to move forward with the times, and if it's in the English league and if it's in the Scottish Premiership, we obviously have to be trying to follow suit. But as I say, affordability, making sure it's quick, making sure it's correct, making sure it's covering what it needs to cover. If all those things is put in place, then as I say, we just have to move forward with it.
And just finally, football matches going on longer now because they're trying to really get rid of any sort of time wasting, which, look, has been the tactic of underdogs since the day the game was invented, practically. But long matches, I know it worked in your favour on Monday, having a bit of extra time to get that goal.
Yeah.
But is it sustainable, do you think, with players over the course of a campaign, or is it going to lead to problems?
It could lead to injury, because a lot of our clubs are still part-time. They're only training twice a week and playing a game on a Saturday. So obviously if a game last season would have lasted for 94, 95 minutes, I think our game on Monday night would have lasted maybe 101 minutes. So there is extra workload that's being put on the players. Again, ultimately, it depends where you are in the game, whether you feel as if it's right or whether it's wrong. Whenever I seen 7 minutes going up on Monday night, I was very happy. If I had been in Tiernan's dugout and 7 minutes goes up, I would have thought, where did you get the 7 minutes from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so listen, if it's something that the English Premiership's going along with, if it's a directive from UEFA, then we have to follow suit and we have to prepare our players and do our utmost that we can make them that little bit fitter so that they can endure 100 minutes of football on a Saturday rather than 94 minutes of football on a Saturday.
Even if it means we're all getting our dinner later.
Yeah, and you're getting more complaints because you're not home in time, or you're home that wee bit later.
Oh dear, I'm sure we'd find both a way to get ourselves in trouble either way, Rodney. But look, great catching up with you. Thanks so much for coming onto the programme this week.
Super, Michael. Thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
Now, time for our final guest this week on The Score. Last but by no means least, I should stress, he is already off the mark. Did anyone see him scoring two goals on the opening weekend? Newry City certainly didn't. They were beaten handily in the end, 3-0 by newcomers Loughgall. And from the Lakeview side, it is, of course, Caelan Loughran. Caelan, great to have you on the programme.
Cheers, Michael. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, before we talk about your goals, can we talk about your goal celebration? I'm not so sure that the dance moves are up to where they want to be.
I love that, Michael. I was prepared. For the first one. I had the first one all planned out because I do a wee bit of boxing myself. I thought that would be a good wee celebration. But then the second one came back quick. I just went on the flow. And I don't know. I have to do a wee bit more practice as well.
Now, obviously, the boxing makes sense that you're good at that, given your family. Just in case anyone doesn't know, do you want to tell them?
My dad was an ex-world champion, WBO, welterweight world champion. So during pre-season and during the season, I would try and get in and do a few, takes a few clients. And we've kind of got like, well, he kind of has like a gym at home. The double guard just kind of cut it out for like punch bags and etc. So I would try and get to do a wee bit with him. So that's kind of a wee bit behind the celebration.
Yeah, a nice little tribute there as well. Eamon Loughran, I'm sure plenty of people do know, but just in case they didn't, that was a nice little nod. So the first one for dear old dad. The second one, any excuses?
Second one was just, that's the way I got on a Saturday night in a nightclub. That's the only thing I can say about that. I don't know if it'll happen again. There's been a few wee Andy McGorry just to play the way of Palomino. He said, Caelan, it might have to be a trademark now. So it's maybe in the head to do it again, but I maybe get too much stick, Michael, I might just stop it.
I think if you keep scoring, nobody is going to mind a jot apart from the team you score against.
That's it.
Let's look at Loughall. What have they done for you in your career? Because it looks like you are absolutely loving life there.
Loving it, Michael. That was the thing when I was going there. I didn't really know much about it, if I'm being honest with you. I knew a couple of the players from playing against them, etc. But it's a wee village, and it was way out of my comfort zone. I says to myself, look, maybe go and try something different here. I knew no one really about the club. And it's been absolutely brilliant. It's been a fantastic move for myself. Everyone's so friendly. I just feel like a brand new player, if I'm being honest with you. A new lease of life. Training's first class, so professional. We've a gym, we have a 3G pitch, we've got our pitch now. That's up and going for the Premier League, and just really, really feel like a brand new player. The manager's given me so much confidence, and the coaching staff, and the players that I'm playing with, we all trust each other, and it's been brilliant. It's been a brilliant move.
That was the, of course, a January transfer, but the period before that, was it a difficult spell for you at Ballymena United? Obviously, a club that you've a great affinity with.
Yeah, difficult, Michael, because the first time I was at Ballymena, it was an amazing time. We won the League Cup, the first trophy in 30 years, maybe, and to be part of that and playing that. Was an amazing achievement. We qualified for Europe that year too, and I think I played maybe 25, 30 games that year. So that there, standing at a club was fantastic. And it's my hometown club, so when I had the chance to go back, I says, look, I have to go back. But things just maybe didn't work out. I felt maybe too much pressure playing for them, or I felt just wasn't myself when I was playing, you know. And I thought just a change of club and a change of scenery would be best for me. And thankfully that came around with Dean Smith and Loughall.
And what a time to be joining Loughall as well. You go in and you're part of a title-winning team. That must have just been an amazing few months to step into that and experience it all.
Yeah, well, when I joined, I think we were top of the league by 1 or 2 points. We were going through like a wee sticky patch, but I remember speaking to Brian McLaughlin at Balmain, and I says to him, look, Brian, be honest, our lock all the best team in that league when they get it right? And he says, Keon, when they're on their game, they're the best team. They play lovely football, et cetera, et cetera. So I says, look, it's a good move. But yeah, we went in and I think our first match was away in upgrading. We drew 0-0. And then the second match, we got beat 1-0. And I was like, oh, jeez, what have I joined here, you know? And then after that, I think it was a one. I got beat again when I played. I think we went on a run, a serious run. We actually had a talk with Rory Best. The gaffer brought in Rory Best, the rugby player. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. Just what he talked about, handling pressure, being at the top. Pressure at this stage of the season is a privilege, and certain boys react different, so don't be getting in each other's back if someone's maybe too relaxed or maybe uptight. That's just the way they go about it. So even just wee things like that there, Michael, kind of says in a good way of going and winning it. And yeah, at the end, it was kind of not comfortable enough, because going up, we had to obviously get our tactics right, and there's always tricky matches in the championship. It's such a hard league, and I think every level of football in Northern Ireland now is getting better across the whole board. So it was kind of one of them ones, look, just take it game by game, and eventually going into split, I think our first game we beat ours 5-0, and then after that, it's kind of like, look, lads, let's go and finish the job here. And I think with 3 games to go, we had it won, so it was kind of, you could relax a wee bit and enjoy the celebrations a wee bit more.
And was it a good period of celebrating?
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Because it's a wee tight-knit club. Everyone knows everyone around the village. And amazing, Michael. Just seeing so many people happy, and that you see they're maybe working and doing a bit of voluntary work around the club. Just seeing the joy that it brings to them was fantastic. Brilliant. Everyone in it together. And that's the way it'll be this year too, Michael. It'll be everyone in it together, working hard together. It will be ups and downs, but listen, we'll give it a good row.
Did any of you expect the type of game that it ended up being at the Newry Showgrounds?
I think so, Michael, deep down in. We know what we're about. We understood Newry had a lot of good players, and it's the first game of the season for everyone, and everyone's excited. But we had a game plan, and the gaffer has us well drilled and well prepared. And listen, that was the target going down. We weren't going down just the, and I, that's what we talked about. It's kind of, we're going down there to get 3 points, and that was the mindset all week, that we weren't just going down there just to enjoy the occasion of being up in the Premier League again, and if we can get a point, so be it, or if we just put on a good performance. We were going down there with a target for 3 points, and that was our mindset from the week following into the game.
And I mean, it's the dream start, isn't it, going in at half time 3-0 up. I guess then, yeah, it's just keeping your head, isn't it, and you, because you know just how quickly things can change. And we've already heard on the programme this week from Dungannon about the game that they've just had, so there's 100%. The perfect example of how quickly leads can disintegrate in this level.
Yeah, 100%, Michael. We knew at half time that we didn't have to, we went in thankfully enough with a great lead, but we knew at half time that nearly enough in the loose. We talked about it, that they were going to come out. We didn't have to come out, as obviously we had a 3-0 lead. We had just had to protect it, get through the periods of 15 minutes. We just talked about it, just get through the first 15. Don't give them anything to kind of get there, because they were at home. You know what I mean? If they get an early goal, it's, you know what I mean, the crowd behind them, they can throw the kitchen sink at it, they had nothing to lose. But we just said at halftime, look, just keep it tight for 15 minutes. And then when we get to that 15, go again for another 15, and then kind of got to the stage where it was like last 10 and you kind of could play your way out of it. But no, you just have to, especially in that league way, as you said, Dungannon the other night, I don't think many people saw it coming, but that just shows the league. And I think with the new add-on in time too, people think maybe now way 85th minute, it's kind of nearly enough, game over. But with the new rules kind of coming in, that you could, you see with Glentoran too, it's, you can maybe be playing 95, 100 minutes now, so you kind of have to kind of have to stay focused now a bit longer, and it's probably going to make for a more exciting league.
It's really interesting hearing how different people interpret that challenge or that additional time. I was listening to Darren Bent talk about it. Obviously, you know, England international, yeah, scored so many goals in the Premier League. And he said, look, as a striker, being honest, selfishly, love it. Means I have a more chance, yeah, to score a goal. And when I heard him talk about it, I thought, do you know what? There is a side of it, because everyone's going, you're going to be, yeah, exhausted, you might get injured, da-da-da-da-da. It's going to be harder to hold a lead. But the other side of it is we could see more goals because you're out there longer.
100%, Michael, and it's kind of one of them ones, when it hits the 90th minute, you're thinking to yourself, right, what's the fourth official going to pop up here? And usually it's around 2-3 minutes, and you're going to yourself, right, well, we'll drop off here and we'll defend. But now it's kind of when it hits the 90th minute, and if you're leading, the fourth official puts up 7 minutes. And if you're leading, it doesn't really matter kind of what time, you're going to drop. Do you know what I mean? In the 90th minute, just to protect your lead, you're not going to go gun hole at it. So it is kind of one of them ones where you're going to be backs against the wall, maybe instead of 2-3 minutes, maybe 5-6-7 minutes now. So no, definitely it's probably the strikers are enjoying it, but maybe not so much us defenders.
No, I did have a laugh after the game against New York City. I saw the interview that you gave, and you know, I think tongue in cheek you were saying, I'm coming for Matthew Shevlin's golden boot and all the rest of it. It is Matthew Shevlin you play against here this weekend. So, Corey, and what are your thoughts on them? Obviously, they got off to a win last week.
Yeah, no, I think Matthew Shell, I think his numbers from last year speak for themselves. And I think whoever beats him this year, I think, is going to be top goal scorer. I think that's how highly I rate him. He's a very, very good striker. He just scores goals. And as Corey and as a team, I think they'll be up in and around it this year. I think Warren is a top manager. I think he's signed really well with David McDaid. Your wee boy Lee Hargans is supposed to be a real, real good player. So I think Corrine, personally, I think they'll be up in and around it. So it's just about us. Usually when you play a team, Michael, they have one or two players that you kind of have to keep an eye out on who can really, really hurt you. But I think with Corrine, they interchange. They've got Glacken, they've got McHenry. So we're going to have to, we understand that it's going to be a totally different game, and it's going to be a really hard game. We're going to have to stay focused with the amount of good players that they have, and they can mix it. They've got strong players, they've got nippy players, you know, they've experienced. So it's going to, we understand why it's going to be a real hard game, but listen, we're at home. We'll give it a rattle, we'll play our style of football, and yeah, it's our first game back in the Premier League, and we'll see where it takes us.
Yeah, double header now at Lakeview as well. So how exciting for fans of Loughall to now, you know, because yes, you've had the away day, but now it's really coming home. Literally, you've got these big teams coming, and Glentoran coming on Tuesday, which is going to be a game that's being shown on the BBC as well. So I don't know if you've all got hair appointments booked this weekend. Have you been shining your boots? What the plan is?
Big Tucker, the big goalkeeper, he'll definitely have the hair appointment. he loves it, but. No, listen, Michael, that's what we want it. You know, if when you're playing it in this country, that's the matches that you want. You want the Landfields coming. You want the Glentorans, the Crusaders, the Cliftonvales, the Larns. Like that's the games you want. And as us as players, you just don't want to be going out and playing. You want to be competing against these guys, you know, and showing what we're about as a club, and personally yourself, what you're about. So no, it's very exciting times, and we don't just want to be here just to enjoy the occasion. We want to really stamp our authority and see where it can take us. We understand, look, it's going to be extremely difficult at times, and we're going to go through periods of real downs, but it's about just keeping that kind of medium of level of consistency of never getting too high, especially after Saturday, because we understand how quickly this league can turn. You know, you can go from 3-0 beating Uri and everyone's buzzing, which is good for the confidence, until then you can maybe play a team after it and it could go the opposite way. So you just kind of have to keep the level ahead.
That's great advice, and sometimes easier said than done with a standard and everything else and the challenges this league throws at you. But it will be absolutely fascinating to see how Loughall get on, because I think when teams come up, there's always just an assumption they're going to be in a battle to go back down. It isn't always the case. It does usually prove a challenge the first time up, but who knows?
Yeah, no, that's it. And to be honest, it's we do have a great style of football. you know. And yes, some weeks we understand we're going to have to mix and match now a wee bit more when you're playing against these top quality teams. But listen, we'll give it a good rattle, and especially at home, we kind of have to make our home games if we can be really competitive against the top teams, because we understand that the league's basically a two. It's basically split now, I think, with the top six and the bottom six. And if we can pick our points up in the mini league, which we say the bottom six, if we can get our points home and away and just keep plugging away, I think we'll be all right. But listen, we're going to have our downs, we're going to have our ups. It's just keeping it level-headed, as I said.
A great debut on the score for you. Thank you very much for coming on, Caelan, and best of luck for the season ahead. Loughall's journey is one that I think a lot of people are going to be following with great interest to see how you fare. But, I mean, a statement of intent in the first weekend anyway, certainly. So well done for that.
Cheers, Michael. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
The Score with Michael Clark.
And breathe. Busy show, wasn't it? Busy show this week. Lots on it. My thank you to Caelan Loughran, who we've just heard, to Mike Riley, Warren Feeney, and Rodney McAree. And whether you're listening on the radio right now or catching up via our podcast, can I ask you, make sure you follow us on The Score and I across all of our socials. That way you can keep in touch with us. Do send us your messages in. And if you're listening on any particular podcast platform, do hit the follow button or the subscribe button on that platform as well, so you get notified as soon as these episodes drop. And that'll keep you right throughout the course of the campaign. This is only number two. We've so many more to come, and I cannot wait. But for now, all that remains to be said is enjoy your weekend of sport. Bye-bye.